Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts, and we always close this segment with prayer, prayer of affirmation, as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught together. This is The Word is the Way to Life with Little Ralphie celebrating and encouraging you through the book of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to look at chapter 3, verses 9 through 15 this week. Hear God's Word. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have thought about this in connection with the various kinds of work God has given people to do. God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So I concluded that there is nothing better for people to do than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are the gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is this, that people should fear Him. I think that's better translated, love Him, but that's me. Whatever exists today and whatever will exist in the future has already existed in the past, for God calls each event back in its turn. Wow! When is there a time for hating? You know, we got to thinking about all that last week, or time for this and time for that and time for that. But is hating ever appropriate for God's people? Certainly. There is some things, you know, it says in scriptures there are seven things that God hates. You can find that over in Proverbs. But sometimes instructors or pastors or anybody who is presenting their points of view in a strictly logical sequence, instead of deliberately adopting a non-linear presentation so that it's not immediately clear how they're separating their points and how they fit together. Now, this seems to be Solomon's approach, you know, the teacher. He introduces a topic, and then he considers it for a while, and then he drops it, only to take it up later from a different perspective. Think about the example that the teacher was giving us as he broached the topics of toil and wisdom in chapters 1 and 2. And this can be frustrating for his readers, but it has merit of provoking us into a deeper reflection and a relationship with the living God as we try to follow his example and his teaching. So today's passage is a good example of the teacher's method. It repeats points made earlier, Ecclesiastes 3:9, with this reference to pointless toil. And it echoes chapter 1, verse 3 and chapter 2, verse 22. And the reference is in chapter 3, verse 10, to be a burden which God had imposed on all humanity. And he's recalling the advice regarding how we should live and take up ideas that was stated earlier. And then he presents and repeats the past, which was already introduced in chapter 1, verse 9. So today, the passage is the teacher sets these familiar ideas in a different context. He introduces a new focus on God's activity in the world, drawing a contrast between God's work and human toil. Now, in God's purposes, and I agree, everything fits. God determines the course of events and knows the right time for everything. For he has made everything beautiful in its time, Solomon said. And further, God has set eternity in the human heart. I like that. We glimpse the vastness of his purpose. Perhaps we can also sense how our own lives may fit in those purposes. But full understanding eludes us. We cannot grasp God's work from the beginning to the end. We're just students, and we're continuing. So it's like getting a book and going to the back of the book and reading how it ends without knowing the full context of the book. We have to live this thing called life. And human toil is always uncertain. And it may bring satisfaction, but it may also be misguided and futile sometimes. Human toil is provisional, and what one person does, another may undo. Remember that? But what God does will endure forever. Now, this seems to refer both to the stability of the natural world, naturally, and the outworking of God's purpose in history. And what God does, though, lasts. Can you imagine from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, God's work lasts and His word goes on forever. It does not return void. So how does chapter 3, verse 15, restate the idea from the opening part in chapter 1, verse 9? History repeats itself. Now, people say, oh, history repeats itself, and then others say, no, history don't repeat itself, but it certainly rhymes. So you got to expand the earlier text with a reference to God's sovereign judgment. God will call the past to account. Events may reoccur many times, but they will not reoccur forever. History is moving towards God's appointed goal, and what happens takes place under God's purview, so to speak, as He gazes upon the world that He created. So it does matter then how we live now, and in particular, how we must fear God. As I say, I like that word translated love better, but fear transmits and says we got to have reverence, awe for God. So we must fear God. So the structure of the teacher's argument is very emerging. And there are many puzzles, many frustrations, and we cannot truly fully grasp God's purposes. But it is becoming clear that some paths in life are more in line with those purposes than others. And later chapters of Ecclesiastes will develop that purpose, but what God's purpose in life is clear. That's why He sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world. God manifested in the flesh. The Word is the way to life and lived among us. And He shows us the way. Well, Christians on the other side of Jesus' life, death and resurrection, we surely have a better grip of the big picture, don't we, in the promises of God and His purpose. And the teacher did too, Solomon. But he didn't know Jesus in a personal way while he was here on earth, but he did know the Spirit of the living God. But equally, there remains much to do that we do not understand, even though we are on the right side of Jesus. There's a lot we don't understand. I spend a lot of time sometimes on the hard sayings of Jesus and how we can flesh that out. I think most of us would agree with the teacher that we cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end because we just don't know, but we do know that we win in the end. How should this affect us the way we live as we study the book of Ecclesiastes? Well, I'm personally thinking that if you experience the things that verses 12 and 13 speak of, happiness, the opportunity to do good, have good food and good drink, and have a satisfying vocation, how can you value them? Well, they are all gifts from God. Because we don't have any of that stuff when we come into this world. So we gather all this stuff, both good and bad sometimes, and then we have to be pruned in order to claim the wonderful gift of eternal life. Well, I hope and pray that you're enjoying this little walk through the book of Ecclesiastes with the teacher Solomon and with the Holy Spirit. I wanted to also let you know that we do, at this segment, come into a prayer of agreement with and for all the people that we have on our prayer list, and some we know about, some we don't know about, but the Holy Spirit knows about them. And I keep saying, and I keep encouraging and want you to know how to talk with God yourself. Does God talk to you individually? Yeah, He does. Does it audibly? I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. I've had a word from the Lord, and I don't know if it was audible or what, but I do know in my spirit there was confirmation that it was a word from the living God. So with that, we want to lift up everybody, and we thank God for the country that we live in and the freedoms that we endure. And they're always challenging too. Even though we have a constitution and we have all kinds of stuff, it can be taken away. Even though we have the Word of God, we don't always follow the Word of God, do we? And we have to suffer the consequences of that. The same, I think, with our founding fathers who given us a constitutional republic or a democratic republic, if you would. There was a lady after they signed the Declaration of Independence and they had the Constitution, and Ben Franklin was walking out of the meeting and the lady said, "What kind of government did you give us, Mr. Franklin?" He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And we need to keep it because those are founded on Judeo principles, and we thank God for that. And you know, I know, we don't follow the Ten Commandments precisely the way we should. And it's the same with the Constitution. But if it is a gift from God, it will endure. Well, with that, I want to close this segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. And it's a prayer. It's a model prayer for all of our prayers to line up with. And there's a lot of things in there. As I mentioned in the book of Job, as we have the scripture reading in church, that God blessed Job when he prayed for his friends. And that goes back to all the stuff that's in the Lord's Prayer. Think about it as we pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, have a wonderful and blessed day, and tune in next week for The Word is the Way to Life through the book of Ecclesiastes.